IPSE leads the way.
IPSE.
One system, personnel, and pay.
IPSE.
21st century.
IPSE.
Total force visibility.
Hi, and welcome to the IPSE podcast. I'm your host, Frank O'Brien, and our topic today is training. There are several types of training available for IPSE users. That includes new equipment training, live training, our commander's course, release 2 and release 3 training, as well as data correctness. We plan to touch on it all today. IPSE will continue to integrate with the curriculum with the AG Schoolhouse, so many changes are coming to the whole HR Army career field. The system has been live for the Army National Guard for several months now, and we have 2 subject matter experts here with us today who are alumni of the Training with Industry program. They've got lots of lessons learned from Release 2, and I'm looking forward to the discussion. As always, we're joined by Colonel Gregory Johnson, Functional Management Division Chief, who will introduce our 2 special guests. Colonel Johnson, welcome. I turn it over to you.
Thanks, Frank. We are in 2021, so I know I got the bells ringing that, you know, we're glad to get rid of 2020, and we're now in 2021, looking forward to getting IPSE done and out to the Army, the whole Army, for Release 3 in December of this year. Of course, we have a lot of work to continue to do between now and then, and a lot of that work is in the training arena. So we're looking to have a good conversation today, go all around the world and talk all these different pieces of the training approach for IPSE. But yeah, to your point, let's introduce our guests. You know, Megan Meinholz is really our lead for training, and Marisha McLean is doing a lot of the work to do the specifics of putting it all together. And they're here today. So let's Megan, go ahead and introduce yourself. I know we've heard you in past podcasts, but let's go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is Lieutenant Colonel Megan Meinholz. I am the FMD, so Functional Management Division for IPSE, lead for training, deployment, and change management for the program. So what that means is I provide all of the functional oversight for all of our training efforts leading to training and deployment of IPSE. So our next major milestone is Release 3. So our efforts right now are all pointed towards Release 3 training and deployment, as well as, you know, the change management effort. I've been on the program now for a little bit over 4 years, so I've seen quite a bit of history, and I'm excited about where we're going in the future with the program. I'll hand it over to Captain McLean.
Hello, thanks, ma'am. So my name is Captain Marisha McLean. I have been on the program now for a year. I work with Colonel Meinholz in the training and sustainment realm. So one of my major roles here is conducting the live training, scheduling it, and actually making sure it's executed. And then also working out the user guide that, you know, the users will have. Also in this role, I work with our SI developers and who are creating all of the DL training and the T3 training that you all will receive free very soon this summer. And so it's a very exciting job because they get a hand into the mix of what, you know, new users will actually receive in order to help them be ready for that transition at the end of this year. But I came on the program again a year ago. Prior to that, I was in a Training with Industry assignment where I was already mapped to come join the IPSE team upon completion of that. I was in Chicago, so I got to experience my first summertime shy. So that was a great experience. But I got to work with a company called Navigant, and it was a consulting firm. And at that time, HR was completely different from anything that I had already experienced as a HR officer in the military. I spent a lot of time at Battalion S1, a little bit at Division, but primarily was in the battalion footprint. So I was definitely used to meeting those immediate needs of the soldiers that surround you every day. In that environment, I learned a lot about strategic HR operations, learned a lot about corporate HR and how what we do in the Army is both different, but also very similar. We have a lot of the same challenges. So it really helps prepare me for this role that I didn't know I was going to walk into, kind of a very strong training base. But I got to be a part of webinars, which we're going to talk about later, while at Navigant, and that helped to kind of provide the foundation that we're using today with presenting this new information to the team. But I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks, Marisha, for laying that out. And yeah, I'm excited. I mean, obviously, Megan's been around for a few years. I've been working with her quite a bit over those last 4 years, making a lot of things happen with IPSE, but also with that training with industry program. And yeah, we're lucky to have you on the team because you bring some very critical skill sets to the table. Especially in this arena. So it's not just webinars and training and user guide focus, but, you know, obviously we'll get to that a little bit later on. Yeah, I'm not sure what a shy summer is. All I know about Chicago, it's windy and it's cold. And I think the time that we visited you, it was like in February and I don't know, it was like -7.
Yes. You missed out. So you missed out. It's a good time. Summertime Chicago is cookouts, block parties, you know, everything we couldn't do in 2020, 2019, that was the year.
Yeah, that's probably good to clarify that, you know, you were still free to maneuver around.
Yes.
In 2019.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so cool. So Megan, you know, I think maybe we should start a little bit of where we're at and then where have we been. Obviously, we're in the march to making release 3 happen for the Army this year at the end of the year. But we did a lot in release 2 and we learned a lot from release 2. So maybe you take it from there a little bit and then we can dive into each of the pieces as we get going.
Yes, sir. So I'm going to just sort of touch a little bit on release 2, and then I want to go back to that as more of a deep dive. But so what we did for release 2 is we relied heavily on the new equipment training. So that is the system role-based training. We did 54 different go live events. So each state and territory actually went live by themselves. So we trained each one independently. So we went to Montana, we went to Wyoming, we went to Maine and New Hampshire, Hawaii. I mean, we went to all 54 and we did training there with them, with their soldiers. We can't do that for release 3. So what we're doing in release 3 now is we're actually going to do a train the trainer model for training. So what that means is we are going to do about 2 weeks of training for approximately 1,700 T3s or train the trainers. They are embedded within each organization. So the program contracted instructors will go out starting in really the July timeframe. So they'll be training on site at various locations throughout the world, providing this 2-week training for these T3s. Once the T3s have done that training, they've completed their prerequisite DL training, they've done the 2 weeks of classroom training, then they can turn around and do hands-on training with their HR professionals within their organizations. So while this looks different from release 2, I think that it'll actually benefit us as we move forward towards our release 3 go live. So one of the things we learned in our 2 was that while the instructors knew the system, they didn't know how the organizations were doing their, their HR functions and transactions within their individual organizations and states. So one of the benefits of using an organization's own trainers is that they know the SOPs and the procedures and how things are done in their organization, at their unit, at their installation, and they'll be able to transfer that knowledge with the knowledge that they've gained about IPSE in order to get a better training end state for the HR professionals within their organization. So, you know, just a quick timeline of kind of what to expect moving forward. So next month in February of 21, we will start to unlock user accounts within the system. So HR professionals, leaders can go in and start looking at the release 2 training material, just sort of get an idea of what IPSE looks like and get a basis moving forward, also check system access. We want to make sure that people have the access that they need before they start their actual training. So moving down into May of 21, we'll actually be loading all of the prerequisite DL training into IPSE for people to start taking their training. Expect it to be about 40 hours for HR professionals, an hour for commanders, and they will have really from May through December to complete that DL portion. So starting in July, as I already said, we'll do that T3 training, and that goes from really July through October. And then anytime after the T3s complete their training, they can do the hands-on portion of training with their HR professionals. So really, that's kind of what it looks like from now through December, getting ready for release 3 go live. And that's that role qualification training.
Yeah, that's a lot. I do want to bring you back to release 2, and I want to ask Marisha this too. Both me and you were on the program in 16 as we built the system and as we built training for the guard, and then we executed the training process the way that you highlighted. I know for me the big lesson learned was we created a pretty good training regimen on how transactional stuff in IPSE worked. I thought that was pretty good, and I think it's held up, and we'll show the test of time that it's a good resource to utilize at any point. You can go back and say, hey, how do I do a transaction? Here's how you do the transaction. But when we were in Pennsylvania, it was very clear that folks were asking, hey, how does this link to all these other legacy systems? How do I actually operationalize and change how I was working in my state, right? That's all that stuff that we scrambled on as we started to go live state to state, and just learned a whole heck of a lot. And I think a lot of that is right, has shaped how we've trained Release 2 and National Guardsmen, over the last year after we've gone live, but it's also shaped this plan for release 3. So that's kind of my perspective. Marisha, maybe you take a shot at this first, and then we'll circle back with Megan. From your perspective, what's your take on how we executed release 2 and lessons learned?
Absolutely, sir. I mean, everything you stated was correct. One of the things that I believe we may have underestimated was that natural and really expected learning curve and gap that users was going to have with doing just like what you said, kind of taking that transactional step-by-step that they learned in the DL and the IFT and then applying it to real world usage and application. Understanding the end-to-end, that's kind of a buzzword nowadays in business processes, how the things link together and branch out to other systems. All of that had to be included in the training. And so that's really where we started to, try to find other ways to kind of meet that need for our users. Because for one, a lot of people was really happy with what the training they received, from our team. So it's not that the training was incomplete in any particular way. It's just those natural learning curves and natural gaps that when people actually get to touch it and say, okay, it's day one, now how do I actually do this? So I think that we definitely are leaning forward on that for release 3, because our intent with how we are mapping out training that's either reinforcement training, familiarization training, demonstrations, all of that is meant to make our new user base comfortable and familiar with the system, at least to the point that they're not going to be afraid to click buttons come the end of this year in December.
Right. Yeah, well, we always want to attack the fear wherever we can. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
I like how you linked, end-to-end business process understanding and mapping. That is a bit of a buzzword right now, but I think it's really accurate. It's like understanding kind of how the whole, onboarding process works in a state, but then also in the active duty, how it works from, how a soldier comes into the Army, all the way to the training base and then their first assignment, understanding, you know, everybody's roles and how that works, I think is important.
Yes, sir. So
doing all that, I think is pretty critical. I mean, for us, we call that, you know, effort that we're doing HR transformation, and we'll run an HR summit in the April or May timeframe that kind of lays a lot of those business processes out in the, you know, tied to the release 3 go live environment. So I know that's one of the big lessons learned for me watching that in release 2 and then saying, hey, we should probably take a really good shot at that and then do it before we started fielding, you know?
Yes, sir.
And try and level set for some folks. You know, Megan, what do you think?
So I remember you, gosh, it was August or something a couple of years ago now, but you took a trip out to Oklahoma to visit the Coast Guard. I think it was Oklahoma or Kansas, wherever their HR headquarters is at.
Topeka,
yeah, Kansas. That's right. It was Kansas. Mm-hmm. So you went out there and you came back all jazzed up about training. They had all these job aids. They had their own little training studio that they were doing these live training videos. And you said, Megan, how can we make this work? We need to do something like this. And so I think it was shortly after that, Marisha came on board and I was like, oh, thank goodness you're here. Look at this website. See what they're doing. We need to do this for release 2.
Because
they went through the training, they learned it, like Marisha said, but we were still getting a lot of kind of user created errors in the system. So, you know, we'd have somebody put on orders, or they would try to put somebody on orders or on assignment, but somewhere along the way, something got flubbed up. So, you know, a wrong code was put in somewhere, or the wrong dates were put in, and it was causing errors that, you know, through training. And so Marisha started making job aids, which were the step-by-step instructions on exactly how to do this type of assignment. We started with assignments because that was kind of our problem area. And she started doing these webinars where she was going live with users. And, you know, maybe the first one we had like 40 people tuned in, but we actually ended up breaking DCS. And about the time we broke DCS is when Teams came up and we were able to use Teams for these venues, because we had over 200-300 people tuned in for these live webinars. It was pretty incredible to watch the users and just want this information. You know, they were excited about it. And I think at the end of the day, it really helped the R2 users, you know, do their jobs better and more effectively within their new system. So I think it really paid dividends.
Yeah, I remember that trip pretty well, Megan. I mean, Topeka, Kansas, the Coast Guard headquarters. I mean, I didn't really understand why I was going to Topeka, you know, for the Coast Guard MilPay headquarters. But yeah, that's where it's at. You know, when you tour their facility, and the reason why we're so interested in the Coast Guard is because they're using PeopleSoft, and they combined their HR and pay several years ago in the Coast Guard. And so their, you know, central site, if you want to call it, and their central management of that system is there in Topeka. We went and visited them just trying to learn a bunch of different things, how they were doing audit, how they were doing mill pay, and their lessons learned. And one of those big lessons learned was they walked us through like a mini recording studio right in the middle of their headquarters. And they're like, this is where we do live training. And I was like, live training? Like, let me see. And, you know, so they walked me through how they did it. And it was really cool. So obviously it came back and said, hey, we should do this too. And you guys just jumped on top of it. You know, you ladies really shaped how we went into that and then how we started to execute it, and really, really strong track record, right? We've probably had, Marisha, how many? I mean, I know 5,000-6,000 people plug into these things so far.
Yes, sir. We actually had about 30 sessions, I believe. I'm actually just trying to confirm that number. But essentially, yes, we had over 30 sessions, and that's just with the IPSA webinar series. So from this, you know, that initial conversation, sir, like the field users were absolutely interested in, and they were also not only interested in the training that we were giving, but also being a part of it. And then they started, you know, doing things on their own as well. So we started with the IPSA webinar series, first live kind of initiative. And then the Army National Guard NGB training team started a series. And so they have several live sessions as well that we've helped out with to shape those. And, you know, really that training train just kind of took off. And part of it was probably because of the engagement that we was able to have. You know, field users was able to talk to us, ask us questions in real time, get a real answer. But then we also had SMEs that were also in the field that we incorporated in all of our training just to really drive it home. Because, again, no one knows the system like you. And when you're in it, you're, you know, a lead in your state and you're, you know, are working through these challenges. We wanted to get that knowledge and experience and also share with other people. So it really was successful.
And Marisha, it's also branched out now, right? Into, you know, kind of release three preparation.
Oh, yes.
that started last summer. I mean, you know, with the data correctness and AOS lines of effort.
Absolutely. We have definitely took it up a notch. So like she mentioned, data correctness campaign, that is one of our major efforts that started last year and is continuing on now. And then we also have the AOS campaign. That's a weekly event. IPSA Warrant Officer Huddle, that one is a really great one for our technical users. Those folks are Warrant Officer Corps, who really is kind of the backbone of how we're going to maintain and do HR post go live. And so getting those folks into a call to be able to ask us good questions and, you know, bounce ideas and concepts off of each other has been extremely beneficial for both parties. And then throughout this year, we're going to have reinforcement live training through the means of, you know, separate courses for specific targeted users, and then also some general type of webinars for all users that they can plug into to learn about different topics and see demonstrations. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, for me, it's just exciting from, you know, again, I'm just going out and visiting these different sites and trying to understand how different entities, different organizations are operating. And then, you know, I come back and just say, hey, ladies, you know, let's do something here. And then you guys like blow this up to what I just think is it's just great, phenomenal work. I mean, 30 live sessions tied to the release two folks. And then Marisha, you're pulling in, you know, SMEs from, you know, different states, and they're helping to do the training. I mean, in a lot of cases, we're using E5s and E6s from different states. I know we use Sergeant Smoker from Pennsylvania, and then you know, Ohio got to talk about CRM and, you know, all these, this expertise now that's in the Guard, you know, coming together in a platform, you know, online. You know, you started with DCS and then, right, we've moved to, are we on Teams now?
Yes, sir. On Teams. It's much smoother. I do love DCS. It was great while it lasted, but Teams has been good to us so far.
That's so PC of you, Marisha.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for me, it's just like, hey, whatever access we have that can get the audience in, right? You know, and link in and do that training. It's been really cool to watch, and I think we've really enhanced the Guard's efficiency. You know, I kind of credit you guys for enhancing the efficiency here. And then, right. And then we have that Facebook group forum that is all like power users in the Guard that's asking questions and folks are answering it, you know, so that's really cool and really helpful. And then this effort is, you know, triply cool and really, really helpful. And it's, you know, I think the reason the Guard is in such a good spot with IPSA is because of those kinds of efforts over this last year. And you know, we are in the second year birthday of IPSA, right? You know, this month. So, you know, things are going really well, and, you know, it's on to release three next. So maybe talk a little bit more. So you said we're doing some data correctness stuff. We're doing some focus on warrant officers, really talking data and analytics. I mean, what other webinars or live training events are we doing headed towards our net training, which really is starting in the middle of the year?
I'll let you take this one, Marisha. You're the live training SME.
I'll take that, ma'am. I appreciate the SME crown. So we do have some things going on. So like I mentioned, we have a battalion and brigade kind of S1 course. That's a live training series that we're going to be starting up this year, in which we're going to really kind of focus content on our brigade and the battalion S1 population. And so, of course, this would span across all three compos. So we're going to be working with our LNO teams to, you know, build up what those key talking points are so that we're connecting with different type of users and no one feels left out in the training. In addition to that, you know, the webinar series is kind of more of a general population training. So we're going to be hitting big topics with IPSA, you know, profile management, talent management, KSBs, you know, we're going to talk about promotions, some of those larger topics, and then drill down just enough where you can get, you know, a good picture about what's to come, how these things can fit into your current business processes, or, you know, give you clues about things that you need to be expecting to change, you know, once you go into that window where you're starting to transition between your current processes and then, you know, IPSA, post-IPSA processes. So we have a lot of that going on. So we're going to start, you know, high level and then dig down a little bit more later into the year once you have access to the different training environments. And I know Colonel Meinholz may hit on that briefly, but there'll be some opportunities where you can touch a kind of a copy of IPSA. And in those months when those are available to the mass majority of users, you can expect the content to kind of be tailored to be a little more step-by-step to an extent. Also not want to go too deep into it, knowing that you're not going to be able to touch the live system for a few more months, but it's all about familiarization. Again, we just want to get you comfortable. We want to be able to answer those burning questions because we know HR professionals have them, and just really give you the tools to feel empowered once you take that first step into the office to start transacting in IPSA.
Yeah, it's a lot going on there. You know, and it's okay for folks, I think, out there to be a little uncomfortable at this point, especially if you're in the active duty and you know, hey, this whole IPSA train is coming soon.
Absolutely.
You know, you guys have said it before, right? You just got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable for a little while, get in the middle of the training, get exposed, you know, watch some of this live event training that we're doing. And then middle of the year, you're going to take and start your net training. And then we're going to come along as well and update the AG school curricula where, you know, everything IPSA will be taught, you know, for folks coming through the training base. You know, Megan, maybe you talk a little bit about where the AG school is headed. You know, they're creating five functional courses. They're doing a, update to all the curricula. They're adding MilPay curricula to HR soldiers, you know, courses. And then we got this training database. Maybe you can talk a little bit about what the schoolhouse is doing.
Sure. I do like that comfortable being uncomfortable quote, but I don't want to scare everybody because what we're doing with this, you know, with the live training efforts and the webinars and the net training and the training databases is it's an elephant, but we're taking it one bite at a time. So, you know, really it's a progression that is designed to get you from the as is to the to be, and the to be being IPSA. Really, it's small chunks. So, you know, just stick with us throughout the duration of this journey. And, you know, you will be comfortable at the end with using IPSA. It's not going to be some sort of scary foreign language or this brand new thing, you know, we're going to get you there. So just stick with us for that. But as far as, you know, when we talk about the schoolhouse and sustainment training and really, you know, what is the future? So, okay, you're going to get us the training to be able to get our roles in the system. But, you know, what about new users? You know, how, what are we doing in the schoolhouse? So, you know, one thing that the AG schoolhouse is doing right now is they're actually going through all of their POIs and their courses, and they're modernizing all of their courses to include IPSE. So they're doing some familiarization right now so people can start to get a look and a feel for HR professionals who are going through the AG schoolhouse. And then really starting in the summer, so I think that the first AIT that will be completely switched over to all IPSE is in August. And then really as courses start to go into FY22, the rest of them will all be switched over. So, you know, September, October start dates, you know, anyone graduating from those courses will have an IPSE, all IPSE material will be taught to them. So, you know, you'll have new users coming to you who have already seen IPSE. So you're not going to have to train everybody brand new, you know, once you've also gotten into the system, along with switching over the IMT and the PME courses. They're also doing the 5 functional courses. So really, this is kind of a higher level of understanding. So, you know, you'll get basic HR professional, how do I do my job in IPSE? And then the functional courses are really kind of more of a master's degree, if you will, within IPSE. So, you know, fewer people will be going to those, and they'll be getting a higher level of understanding. And that's really the validation or administration roles, analytics, talent management, audit. And then they've got one also for instructors at the schoolhouse to really be, you know, kind of more experts as they go forward in training. Another thing that we've done that's, I think, really exciting is we've built 2 different IPSE sandboxes. So what do I mean by a sandbox? One we're going to be using in the institutional environment. So AG Schoolhouse, the RTEC, the PEC, the different HR professional schools across the Army, they have their own instance of IPSE just for training purposes. So it's all PII scrubbed. It's a kind of a classroom environment where they can set up data, set up users, and run through IPSE transactions in this training database. We call that one the institutional training environment. We have that already for release 2. So the guards using it, they used it for the net training as they went out and did their courses. Works really well to be able to get hands-on and not mess up anything because it's strictly for training. One thing that we're doing in R3 that's really exciting is we are introducing a more robust operational training environment. So what this one is this, these training environments are actually an exact copy of the production. So what you see in IPSE, you know, as you're doing your job, what you see in IPSE, you will see that same thing in an operational environment, which you can go in, it's a sandbox, you can go in, you can do different transactions, but it's a training environment. So you're not messing up any production data. So, you know, say you learn how to do an AWOL DFR in training, you don't really do that very often. I have one, how do I do this? You could go into the operational training environment, practice one of those transactions, so then when you do it in the live environment, you're not messing it up. So that's really powerful. And we're going to be using that hands-on environment. It's going to be available in about June, so just a few months away. And we're going to use that for our Release 3 hands-on training. And then that'll be available for use, you know, after go live. So through 22, that's a sustainment, you know, that's there to stay. And really any HR professional has access to that training environment. So that's something that I'm really excited about going forward.
Yeah, there's a lot happening there at the schoolhouse too, to lay all that out. The training database obviously is a big,
win, I think, for the HR core and for units, especially when you open that up and you allow folks to get in and start to play around a little bit, well before us going live in December of this year. The functional courses too, Megan, I think is really necessary. The one on audit, explaining that whole concept of support and how the HR community is tied to audit with data, with MilPay, with access to the system, and then talent management too. How is it, say, the feeder system, the executor of talent management, not just for the HR core, but for the Army. And then the analytics that come along with it. I think those are all like really important to get solidified and then get folks from the core starting to filter through those. So I know you have a piece in that. How are those going as those are being developed?
It's going pretty well. They had to, they rolled out a few of them in release two. But with COVID and restrictions and stuff, they had to take a step back. So they're back in the development and getting those ready for release three. So expect to be able to, start enrolling people, as we get closer to our go live date.
Yeah, really cool. And then I know there's a push with MilPay. Right now there's a MilPay app, there's a MilPay training team. And really that app and that training team that's out tying into organizations is really about just training HR folks to understand how entitlements are driven by HR actions. Because as you get going in release three into release four, IPSA is going to do pay for soldiers. So, that's an important piece that's already out there that folks can tie into as well. What I like, ladies, is that, you kind of laid out, and Megan, you did a really good job, saying that, we're building upon things. Like there's things that are available now, you're going to get more training in the middle of the year. The AG Schoolhouse comes online later in the year. And then, we go live and then we're going to continue to do these live webinars, into 22, for quite a while. As we, continue to educate and train the force on how to use this tool and the changes that come along with it. So I just think it's really good work from you and the team really driving this. Hey, so there's all this stuff, right? Where's that? Where can you go get all this live training stuff that's been recorded and, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was just about to go there, actually, sir. I was like, I don't want people to feel like they've missed out so far.
No, it's still there.
Yeah, it's still there. So, Marisha, why don't you tell us about it? Because you've done all that work.
Most of the products are out on our S1Net. So that's become kind of our library of resources for the things that were built by FMD to kind of help, again, reinforce training that's in ELM. So if you want to go into that deeper level, kind of conceptual training, those end-to-end processes, check out our S1Net link. You can just search IPSA in S1Net and it will pop right up. We have several folders that's labeled so that you can easily navigate to various resources. So we have, again, a folder for data correctness campaigns. So you could go there, look at the resources from the data correctness team that's out there, the soldier guide and a few other tools that they've created over the year to, really kind of help soldiers with that effort, as well as the live training sessions and the videos linked within them. So that's a great place there. Same with the IPSA and Warrant Officer Huddle. If you're a little behind the curve and missed the first few, there's still time. You can go back, review some of those initial sessions that we took place in 2020. And then also, we have a good capture or summary about training that's coming. So in addition to those two sessions, if you just want to check out what was out there for release two, because that is still, really good familiarization tools. There's a folder on S1Net, for guides, webinars, job aids. Click through that content. You'll find videos, you'll find job aids. You'll find some slide decks that have some really good kind of takeaways that you can take in and digest at your own time, really on demand. And then we still have a lot of great resources on YouTube as well. So going into the YouTube side of the house, there's a lot of good demonstration videos talking through functionality that you're going to have access to in release 3. And then, you know, on top of that, the live training that we've talked about. So that training is ongoing throughout the year, and it will continue post go live as well. So if you stay plugged into our social media sites, if you stay plugged into S1Net, you'll always get the con ops that detail, you know, the call-in links and different things like that, so that you can stay connected and involved in the different training events. But everything is recorded. We post everything to either S1Net and or YouTube after the session is complete, so that all users, regardless of time zones, can plug in.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff, and it's out there. So it sounds like, you know, hey, if someone's bored on the weekend or needs to use something for a training event in their own unit, it sounds like it's all kind of out there for folks to use, Marcia.
Oh, absolutely, sir. And I would definitely point people to the decks, the slide decks that are up under the webinar series. We tend to do a base deck, especially for the Release 2 population, just to kind of give people a takeaway that they can use for that purpose. So there's resources out there. You don't have to recreate the wheel. You can build on top of stuff. And if you, as a user, to our R2 population who might be still listening in right now, if you see something that you want to add to it, send it to us, because we're all about collaborating, finding solutions, and sharing, because that's what's going to get us over that successful hump come at the end of 2021.
Marisha, yeah. Sounds like you have months of sergeant's time training for all these S1 NCOICs out there.
Especially since, you know, S1s typically only get about 30 to an hour, minutes to an hour for SARS time training. So we have plenty of content to fill those time
windows. I mean, I think that's a great point, though, Megan and Marisha, that, you know, we're doing these recordings. We have job aids. You have slides. I mean, it's all packaged, right? Mm-hmm. So it's all packaged for S1s, G1s, where they can just grab it and then use it. You know, in any type of forum that they're running, you know, at their post camps or installations. I know that's one of the things that we have strived up here to do for operational units is that, hey, we're building the talking points for you. We're building the user guides on data correctness. We're building the training, so you don't have to do that in your G1 or S1. You can just, you know, get out here, grab it, and then go use it. So you guys have done a really good job of kind of centralizing and doing all that.
Thank you, sir. It's all about the library. We want, and in today's day and age, you know, we love to search for things quickly online, find it, and then use it. And so we're following that same methodology where we're going to, you know, centralize all of our resources, make them easy to follow, easy to find, and easy to use. So that's the goal.
Yeah, really good stuff. You know, Megan, I think we've covered a lot of ground. Did we miss anything? Anything else we need to talk about in the training arena for IPSE?
I think we've covered most of it. The only other thing, I just want to let everybody know that actually Captain McLean is developing a comprehensive user guide to go along with all of this training material, really for Release 3. So, you know, we're expecting the first iteration of that user guide in about the May timeframe. So really just a few more months, and that kind of pieces it all together. So, you know, some job aids, how to do this, how to do that, explaining the why behind why you're doing something, and then also showing the end-to-end process and how things fit together, you know, from the begin, you know, from submission of something all the way till, you know, a pay trigger or, you know, the record and data packet is sent to some other system. So I'm really developing that comprehensive user guide to go along with all the rest of the training products.
Yeah, thanks. Marisha, do you have anything that you want to highlight here at the end besides, you know, you're awesome and you're taking care of business and we're lucky to have you?
Oh, it's a team effort, sir. I mean, this is a great team. And for all those who dial into the training and also, you know, listening into the podcast and resources like this, there's a lot of great people out here who are doing their best to ensure that this system is very user friendly. But is also, you know, there to kind of help you with your needs, make life a little bit easier for you in a lot of ways. And so, like I said, keep an open mind, definitely engage us, share your questions and comments, because we don't know what we don't know. And all of the questions and feedback and just general comments help us to improve on the products that we're producing. And so you as the new users are in mind every step of the way. So as long as you remember that, I think we're all going to be great come December.
Yeah. Good plug. And, you know, as we get started with release 3, you know, it's also not the end, right? So we'll start in December of 21 with release 3 for the whole army. And then we're going to continue to upgrade this thing. So that's what also excites me. It's that, you know, we're not just going to field something and then stop. I mean, we're going to continue to enhance IPSA, improve capability, improve talent management, you know, improve a bunch of different things as we go, which is just pretty cool and pretty exciting time to be in the Army, especially in Army HR right now. So with that, you know, Frank, I'm going to pass it on to you to close us out.
Thank you very much, sir. One of the things that I think has been great is this is another podcast where we've had alumni from the Training with Industry program able to speak about how they've brought industry best practices to IPSA. So for all the changes that are coming to the Army, these are tried and true, tested, and it's great to see this change taking place. In the months to come, we'll be talking in depth about testing of the system and what that means specifically for Release 3. As well, we're going to cover military pay. If you were listening closely, you heard some teaser content about the military and pay instructors who are out there across the United States delivering training, as well as the MilPay app. So that's coming up in the next couple of weeks. Stay tuned for that. A reminder that all of our training videos are on our YouTube channel, and most of our printed materials that were referenced in this podcast and the manuals and the job aids are on S1Net. We encourage you to explore both those channels. IPSA continues to broadcast on several channels, including monthly town halls on Facebook and shorter form content that we call Coffee Talk. The talks are short form segments that answers specific questions from the field. So when you heard our guests talk about continuing that dialogue, we're very interested and we do listen to your feedback and try and respond. So to all of our listeners, thank you for joining us. This has been the IPSA Training Podcast.
Right soldier, right job, right on time. 24/7, 365.